Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Blob, Star Wars, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Alien, E.T., Men in Black, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Interstellar. These are not the names of some of your favorite sports teams, but they are the title of some of the best movies about aliens from the last 65 years, according to the Google. Now, each of these movies appeals to our curiosity about the possibility that there might be life somewhere else in the universe. We've heard rumors recently about secret government reports documenting alien life forms somewhere. And if you've spent any time traveling north of Las Vegas, you have passed the mysterious Area 51. Quick story about Area 51. While I was working at UNLV in the early 2000s, we had a gentleman. His name was Mr. Lopez. He was not a student, but he ate dinner in the student dining commons 5 days a week. And we knew that he didn't work on campus, but we didn't know where he worked, and we didn't know what he did. But when he was retiring, he confirmed the veracity of a rumor that I had heard when I first arrived on campus. If you've been to UNLV, you know it's near the Strip, which is also near the airport in Las Vegas. And so airplanes would take off and land, depending on the way the wind was blowing, over the campus all day, every day. And there was one airplane that was large, like a commercial jet, but was painted all white with a row of red along the windows with no other markings. It looked like that. Hard to identify that airplane, I guess, if you could put in the call numbers. The rumor was that this plane transported people to and from Area 51 every day for work. On his last day of work at dinner, after his last day, Mr. Lopez confirmed that he had commuted on this plane to and from work at Area 51. And then he would come to campus after the plane had landed, and he'd return back to Las Vegas, and he would come and eat with the students in the dining commons before going home. But that was all he told us. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if his name is Mr. Lopez. Anyway, back to our fascination with aliens and the movies about them. It seems like most of the older movies about aliens were about the aliens coming here to Earth, and more of the more recent movies are about us going out into space and encountering extraterrestrials there. And I suppose maybe that's because with the advancement of technology, it's easier for us to imagine being able to travel through space and time and actually encounter people, these aliens, where they are. But regardless of where we encounter aliens, there always seems to be a scene in these movies where the alien and the human try to communicate. And sometimes it's really drawn out. Sometimes it's easier. Now, in the cartoons and comic strips, it was always easy, right? In the cartoon, the flying saucer would land, put down its landing gear, the ramp would come out, the Martian, it was always a Martian, would come out, and then would say in clear English, "Hello, Earthling, take me to your leader," or greetings, I suppose, is what they said. Somehow the Martian knew to call the human being Earthling. Earthling. It's a much more appropriate description of us than human, according to our reading from Genesis this morning. Last Sunday, I mentioned that today we're beginning a new year of the narrative lectionary, so we're beginning at the beginning. We're beginning in the Old Testament, and throughout this fall, we'll be reading Old Testament stories until we get to Advent. And the first story that we're reading is actually the second story in Genesis about creation. The first story is very familiar. It's told using days to organize the creation events. In that story, however, there's no reference to the garden or to the trees in the garden. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam doesn't name the animals, and Eve doesn't come from Adam's side. We have two unique stories about how God created the world from two different perspectives for two distinct purposes. They, much like the four different gospels, tell about the same events, tell about the same God, but with a different emphasis. The first creation story is really about God's creative power, God being the one who spoke everything into being. And this second creation story, the emphasis is really more upon the man that God made, this earthling who was formed from the dust of the ground. And it's about what we as earthlings were formed to do and to be. This creation story begins before there were any plants in the ground, because there was no rain yet to water them, nor were there earthlings yet to care for them. If you've ever been to the desert north of Las Vegas, you would know what the ground probably looked like at the time. I'm not thinking like Burning Man last week, but, you know, a real desert. So God made a stream rise from the earth and water the face of the ground. And then we read that God set about creating someone to till it. The first human, which in Hebrew is Adam, was formed from the dust of the earth, which in Hebrew is Adama. A wordplay that's lost in English for us. You see, Adam comes from Adama. Adam comes from Adama. And then the Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life. You'll note that we as humans are the only creatures that God created whom God breathed the breath of life into. That makes us unique, and that puts us in a position of great responsibility that we need to take seriously. We were uniquely made and blessed by the very breath of God. The word that is translated as till in our reading, which we might understand to mean to tend and care for, can also mean to worship. Adam was created to worship the creation, to be indebted to the creation, to serve the creation, all different meanings of that same Hebrew word. It was for this purpose that God created humans, to till, worship, be indebted to, and to serve God's creation. How do you think we're doing in that regard? What would you give us? B minus? D plus? Are we doing a good job of taking care of God's creation? Do we even think of it as God's creation, or do we think of it as our own? To demonstrate the interdependence between humans and the earth, one scholar suggests that we translate Adam as earthling instead of Adam or man or human. The earthling from the earth. The earthling from the earth, inextricably bound to the earth. The word earthling reminds us of our origins. We are literally from the dust of the earth, which is something we don't typically hear or think about except during Lent, or maybe at a graveside committal. From dust you were created, to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel. We hear on Ash Wednesday. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust at the graveside. Earthlings are made from the earth, and the earth depends upon our work to produce, to flourish. Before the earthling was created, there were no plants or animals because there was no one to tend them, no one to till them, no one to love them. You see, we were created not to have dominion over creation, but to steward God's creation. It won't produce on its own, as the creation story illustrates, so we need to take care of it. like we would take care of anything that someone else had entrusted to our care. Have you ever babysat? Somebody hands you their child. Do you take that seriously? Have you ever house sat or cared for someone's pet while they were gone? Did you take care of that child? Did you take care of that home or that pet that was entrusted to you? I hope so. If not, I bet it was the last time they asked you. Friends, earthlings, God has entrusted us with the care of God's creation. Now, God hasn't gone on vacation. He's not out on a date night. But God has turned over the keys to earth to us, to tend, to worship, to care for, in order that it might produce and take care of us. It's a symbiotic relationship in which we play an important role. And if we don't take care of it, it will cease to produce. It will cease to support us. It will cease to protect us. And if that happens, we will be like the man and the woman in the next chapter of Genesis, who were sent out away from the garden in shame for what they had done. Earthlings, the earth and all of its inhabitants have been created for you to love and to be supported by and to support you. So let us love that which God loves, that which God lovingly created, so that we too might continue to dwell in the garden as God intended. Amen.